Blog Talk Radio.
You named me.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to greet you tonight in the name that's above every other name. That's the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name. There's no other name like that in all of creation. I want to welcome everyone who's listening, whether it's in the United States of America, in Europe, in Africa, Australia, Asia, North America, South America, wherever you happen to be listening from. I want to greet you in Jesus' name. We're so happy to have you tonight on Reaching Out Radio. And I want to give an extra special shout out to Evangelist Montel Fields. She is the person, the woman of God, that God put this ministry on her heart. And she has opened up the opportunity to me and so many others like me to be able to share not only the gospel, but whatever God has on our hearts pertaining to the kingdom. And tonight, you know, Sunday nights we have In the Word with Sister Pearl. And tonight I want to do a very special program to everything that concerns life and godliness. But specifically, I want to talk about the Christian's response to this radical abortion bill called the Reproductive Health Act that was passed recent as January the 22nd of 2019. So I really want us to talk about it because it is something that not only affects New York, but it affects our nation. And unfortunately, this too will affect the world. And so I want to talk about this because as people of God, we need to have a Christian response. We need to have a kingdom perspective to everything that is going on. So please just take a moment with me as I pray and open up tonight's special broadcast and ask for the Lord to bless it in a very, very special way. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ, we approach you and we ask you to be glorified, to be uplifted, to be exalted. Your words be heard tonight. It's not really important about me or somebody else's opinion. What is important is you, our Heavenly Father. We want to know what you think about this whole issue. And actually, we know in your word what you think. You're a God of life. You said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that you have come to give life and that in abundance. So we know that you're a God of life. And so, Father, we just pray that you would anoint your handmaiden in this next hour and that you would make this come alive to us right now. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so to just share with you something that I wrote in response to this, and just to tell those listeners that might be listening in other countries or listening in other states or even listening in New York City, there's so many people that I've spoken to since January the 22nd, and a lot of them had no clue of what actually took place. Well, this took place in New York. I think most of you around the world have heard about New York, and certainly you've heard about New York City. It's one of the most famous cities in the world. I happen to live in New York City. I was born in New York City. I was raised in New York City. And so I know a thing or two. I'm not an expert on the city, but I do know a thing or two about New York City. I've also traveled extensively and been privileged to live abroad and served as a missionary abroad. But tonight I want to come and talk again about what's happening in New York, and not for the sake of just talking about New York, but like I said at the very onset of this program, I believe that what took place here in New York will affect and have an impact worldwide by informing everybody what did take place on January 22nd of this year. And I'm responding and I'm speaking to the church, specifically the church, but not only the church. So even if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you will before the end of this program, but even if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you should know what is taking place because you're living in this present world. But I'm speaking first to the Christian, and then I'm speaking to that person also that does not know the Lord yet. But when I say I'm speaking to the Christian church, I'm specifically referring to men and women who have placed their total faith and trust in the biblical understanding of who Jesus is. And not only who Jesus is, but everything that he stands for and what he has taught us to do as people that live in this world, to the world. We're living in accordance to Christ's precepts. And for everyone that claims to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are encouraged to conduct our daily affairs in a manner which Christ would be pleased with, in a manner that he would be happy with, in a manner that is in accordance to his will. So let's just first take a look at what took place on January the 22nd. So New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, he initiated and aggressively pushed a bill entitled the Reproductive Health Act. And he was eager. For the past over 6 years, he's been trying to get this bill passed. He finally got his wish granted by speaking to people, all of the Democratic constituents, and also people outside of the Democratic Party. He wanted to push hard this bill. And he wanted to do it, honor, if you can even use that word, but he wanted to do this in celebration of the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Now, Roe versus Wade was the landmark Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion throughout the United States on January 22nd, 1973. However, this new Reproductive Health Act bill takes the abortion laws to an entirely new low. The RHA, or the Reproductive Health Act, it allows the killing of babies in their mother's womb throughout all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason and even up to the very moment of their birth. This is how serious and how extreme and how wicked this law really is. Now, Governor Cuomo was not just satisfied with simply having his bill, you know, voted in and approved, but he wanted to celebrate it in such a way that he had the World Trade Center, the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, the Kosciuszko Bridge, and the Alfred E. Smith Building in Albany, which is our state capital in New York. He had all four of these institutions or bridges or buildings lit up in the color pink to publicly rejoice in his and his fellow Democratic constituents' RHA bill. A bill that would allow and does now allow the killing of babies, even up until the time that their mother is dilating and giving birth, these babies can be terminated. They can be destroyed. So I want you to see how very extreme this bill is. And I want to tell you something that happened even very recently here in New York City. And it took place just a while ago, but I heard it all over the news in New York City. I heard it on a famous station called 1010 Winds. They were discussing what happened because this is not only going to allow babies to be killed up during all 9 months of them being in their mother's womb, but it also has other you know, ramifications. And I'm gonna read to you from the New York Post something that was posted just as recently as February the 8th of this month. Okay, so what does it say? It says that a man by the name of Anthony Hobson, he is now being charged for the stabbing death of a woman by the name of Jennifer Erogian. Now, I might be mispronouncing her name, but her name is Jennifer Erogian. And the prosecutors had initially included a charge of abortion against this Queens man who was arrested on Friday in his pregnant girlfriend's murder. But now they had to rescind, change that indictment because of Governor Andrew Cuomo's new Reproductive Health Act. So what am I saying? Queens District Attorney Richard Brown sent out a press release saying that Anthony Hobson, who's 48 years old, would be charged with second-degree abortion as well as murder in Sunday's fatal, that was last Sunday, not today, fatal stabbing of Jennifer Erogian, who was 35. But now the DA spokeswoman later told the Post that the abortion charge, listen to this, had to be repealed by the legislator and legislature because of the new law as it exists today, because of Cuomo signing the RHA into law on January 22nd. This law removes the abortion from the state's criminal code and puts it into public health law. So even though it faced fierce opposition, especially by the New York State Catholic Conference, warning that it removes accountability for those who would harm unborn children outside the context of medical termination of pregnancy, it already did away with protecting that baby. So what am I saying? Here goes a man that stabbed to death his girlfriend who was pregnant, stabbed her to death, and killed the child that was 5 months in her belly, killed that child. Now, the prosecuting attorney was going to be able to charge this murderer for both the death of the mother and the child. But now because of the Reproductive Health Act that does away with protecting a child in the womb for all 9 months, the prosecuting attorney could no longer charge this man with the death of the baby. He can only charge the murderer with the death of the woman. So do you see how terrible this law is? It is so bad that now a murderer is going to get away with killing an unborn child because of a quote-unquote health act that Governor Cuomo signed into law. And of course now, when the Post, the New York Post paper, contacted Governor Cuomo's office to get a comment about how horrific this law applies to even murderers and freeing them from killing babies in the womb, of course, Governor Cuomo's office could not contact it and did not comment on the murder case. This is how ugly things are right now in our country, that a governor can get away with a law that not only destroys life, but will destroy life that is fully developed, ready to be born. It is now okay to terminate the life of that baby. This is the day that you and I are living in. I am not exaggerating. I am not adding. I am not, you know, telling a tall tale. I am telling you, this is the day that you and I are living in. So now you have the facts of what this bill, the Reproductive Health Act, is all about. An idea of how dangerous this bill really is. Not only does it approve of taking valuable human life at any stage that that child is inside the womb, even up until the date of the birth, for any reason. And what I didn't tell you is that this RHA also allows for not only medical licensed doctors to perform these abortions till the 9th month and the day of their delivery, but this Reproductive Health Act would give precedence and allow a non-licensed doctor, so somebody who is like a practical nurse, a physician's assistant, or another medically, quote-unquote, approved individual to perform that kind of an abortion. Now, keep in mind that when a woman carries up until her 9 months, we're talking about a fully developed baby. Can live outside of the mother's womb even after the 22nd, 24th week. But now you're talking about 40-week-old, fully developed baby, all right? And now you're talking about even people that are not licensed physicians are going to be allowed to perform these type of abortions. How in the world is this going to be a healthy thing for any woman? And it's certainly not healthy for a baby because it's going to kill the baby. But just think about it. So here goes a woman who's carrying a fully developed child, and now she's going to have that child destroyed inside of her. Kind of medical problems do you think can happen with that kind of procedure? It is unthinkable. And then you have to think, well, why is he allowing people that are not licensed physicians to be able to perform these abortions? Because think about it. How many doctors would dare to and would want developed baby inside of the mother's wombs? Most doctors that have consciences will not even do it at 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a month of gestation. They won't do it. Most of the doctors that have a conscience will not do that because they understand that child is a living human being and is just growing inside of the mommy's womb. But how many doctors do you think are going to do that and would dare to do that at 9 months of age in the mommy's tummy? So this is where we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those of you that are not yet into the household of faith, this is where we are right now. And I want to debunk a huge myth among many, many church people when it comes to this topic of abortion. So let me say it clear for everyone to understand. Abortion, the terminating of human life inside a mother's womb, is not a political conversation. It is not a political topic, even though the world and the politicians would like you to think it is. It is not. The taking of human life, The shedding of innocent blood is not a political issue. It is an extremely spiritual subject. Why? Because God is the creator of human life. He creates life in the womb. Again, I repeat to you a verse that I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast. He himself said to his disciples in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance," or have it to the full. Now, there's several scriptures in the Word of God that specifically deal with God's full knowledge of us prior to us having been conceived in our mother's womb. And I want to take my time and I want to read to you those scriptures so that you can understand. This is not Sister Pearl's opinion. This is not some other person's opinion. This is not, you know, an opinion from the right or an opinion from the left or an opinion from the middle. This is the Word of God. And when it comes to the Word of God, he said that my word will not return unto me void. So this is the Word of God. And this is something that cannot be tampered with, cannot be played with, cannot be, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you, you know, I want to hear your opinion. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the Word of God, Sister Pearl's opinion is unimportant. When it comes to the Word of God, your opinion does not matter. All that matters is what God says. He is not interested in your opinion or my opinion. Your opinion and my opinion does not bring life to anyone. Only God brings life. So let me just read to you what God says about life in the womb. Let's start out with a very familiar scripture. Let's start out with Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. Here goes the word of the Lord. "For you formed me, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So here we go. I just read verses 13 to 16 in Psalm 139. And it clearly says that God says, his eyes saw my unformed substance. So that means before I was even conceived, God already knew about me. And I like to tell people, before my mother and my father even met each other, before they laid eyes on each other, far less touched one another, God already knew me. Before your parents, whether it was a planned pregnancy or an unplanned pregnancy, that's not the issue. But before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God says he already knew you. But God knows us before we're even conceived in our mother's wombs. Who do we think that we are that we can go in that womb and snuff out the life of that child, whether it be a little boy or a little girl? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, reads like this. "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things. Who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself." That was Isaiah 44, 24. Here goes Psalm 71, verse 6. "Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." So here again, another scripture proving that God is very aware of us in our mother's womb and even before we're put in our mother's womb. Hello. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I love this. These were God's words to the prophet Jeremiah. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. This is what Jeremiah is saying to God. You are he who took me from my, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading from Psalm. Let me go back to Jeremiah 1:5. My bad. Here it goes. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So I'm going to go back and read that again, because I was reading a little bit of Psalm 71, and I want to just read Jeremiah 1:5. So here we go. Before I formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So again, another clear scripture where God is saying that before we were even conceived in our mom's womb, God says, I already knew you. And not only did I know you, he's speaking here specifically to Jeremiah, but you can put your name in, because God already knew you, whether you were born to be a prophet or not. God already knew you. The beauty of this. There is nothing about you or me that God does not know intimately. Then again, let's read a New Testament scripture, Galatians chapter 1. In verse 15, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. Wow. That's New Testament, my brothers, my sisters. That's New Testament. And here goes another New Testament scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. What's the part that I want to emphasize? That he chose us in him, not only before we were conceived. He goes a step further than that. He says, look, I chose you before the foundation of the world. Oh my goodness. Are you getting that? Before he called the world to come into existence, he chose us. When a person, a baby, they not only are aborting that one baby. Now, of course, sometimes it could be twins, it could be triplets, it could be more. Only the Lord knows. But they are aborting. They are cutting off an entire generation and generations. Because only the Lord really knows how many people would have come into this world as a result of that little baby boy or that little baby girl. And what kind of people would have been born into the world? And what kind of gifts and talents they would have and contributions that they would make to this world? It's never just about, you know, ending the life of one child. And believe me, that is horrific enough. To violently, and I mean violently, destroy the life of an innocent baby boy or baby girl. But again, when you abort that one, you're cutting off an entire generation and generations that would have followed. This is not a slight thing. This aborting babies is not a little matter. That's a woman's choice to make. Because it's not just about her and her convenience or lack of convenience. One day I would love to talk about who we are as men and who we are as women. I would love to just talk about that, but that's not tonight's broadcast. And then again, I'm getting weary of hearing people tell me, oh, well, Sister Pearl, you know, we support you in this fight against abortion and against infanticide, you know, but we know this is your passion. You know, and then I'm trying to ask myself, what exactly are these people trying to tell me? What really are they trying to express? Are they stating in a roundabout way that they really are not interested in what happens to the unborn child unless that child happens to be their own? Now, is that what they're telling me? That reminds me of a missions pastor told me, and he told me this with great insensitivity and quite carelessly. He told me, well, you know, I could never leave my family and go abroad because I'm too much of a family person. Now, his clear inference to me by saying that is that I could have left my family because I obviously, to him, was not as family-oriented as he was or he is. Of course, while I was crushed, thinking in my own mind, really? Does he know how much I love my family? Does he know the sacrifice that it took me to leave my family? Does he have a clue? Of course he did not. But I immediately thought of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39, that reads like this. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And I'm wondering, how many of these people that are in church leadership really take the words of the Lord literally and to heart? Really? And to all of these people telling me, well, you know, that's your passion, you know, that's my passion. You know, Sister Pearl, that's your passion, and I'll support you in your passion. But really, of course they're telling me at the same time, it's not my passion. You know, I'm really not that interested. I'm more interested in something else. Well, I have this to ask you. What do you do, honestly, let's just get real now. What do you do, again, with the words of Christ himself? And don't forget, this is especially that I'm talking tonight to people that say that they are Christ followers, Christians, you know, born again, loving Jesus, you know, doing the praise and the worship, you know, reading the scriptures. Are we reading this scripture? I'm going to take my time and read the entire scripture. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance and the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. But then look what he says in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 42, for I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment for the righteous, but, let me read it again. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, I can hear the Lord saying today in 2019, I was in my mother's womb about to be slaughtered, and you did nothing to help me. You did nothing to help me live and fulfill God's destiny for my life. Instead, you waited for someone else to speak on my behalf, forgetting that if God brought me along your path, I was your assignment and not theirs. He replied, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Believe with all my heart, and I don't believe that I am wrong, that if Christ were walking the earth today, and with abortion being the greatest killer of human life today, that that would have been included in Matthew 25. Exactly like that. And what do I mean when I put in, I was your assignment? Well, for example, I'm not going to meet every pregnant young woman on the planet. I'm not going to know the pregnant young women in your community. I'm not going to know the pregnant young women in your sphere of influence, in your church, in your neighborhood, on your job, in your school, on your workplace. Those people that God allows you to encounter, and you know about them, and you are acquainted with their condition, they become your assignment. God let them come along your path, putting them in my path. I can only minister to those that he puts in my path. But for you to have contact and be able to say something to somebody that God specifically puts in your path, and that doesn't mean that every individual that you see out of the hundreds of thousands that you might see, you know, in the train or on this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People that God puts, he puts them in your sphere of influence. For you to keep your mouth shut, for you to know of a situation and not say or do anything, not pray, not try to be the hands of the Lord extended to that young woman or even an older woman who's pregnant. For you to do nothing, or for you to say even worse, oh, okay, well, I understand.
That's your choice. If they're discussing their situation with you, it's because God is asking you to speak into that situation. That's why. If they're taking the time to ask your opinion or to discuss something personal with you, that became your assignment. And you cannot say, oh, well, that's Sister Pearl's passion or that's somebody else's passion. No, no, no. That is something that God's bringing in your sphere of influence for you to deal with. Because if God deposits His Holy Spirit inside of you, it's not just for you to go into a church service, get up, and be seen of men and women, and then to say you have a very nice voice, or I like the way you read that scripture, or I like the way. No. It's for you to address the situation. It's for you to be salt and light. It's for you to do as those people on the Lord's right would do. See that young woman, destitute. See that little baby and know that that child in the mother's womb is in jeopardy of being slaughtered, and do something about it. Don't be like those on the left that would do nothing to help that child live and fulfill God's destiny for their very life. So what can we do? The church in America is not ignorant regarding the taking of innocent blood. We know what's going on with abortion. Come on. We know. We know what's happening in our churches and our communities. According to the Guttmacher Institute, 83% of all women from all different streams, evangelical, Catholic, you know, mainline denominational, born again, charismatic, from whatever stream, 83% of these women claiming to be Christians are having abortions even while they're attending churches. This is a serious issue that the church can no longer be silent about. Now, what we typically do is shame and ostracize the young pregnant girl or woman who has slipped into sexual promiscuity. And we insist in some of the churches on sitting her down or set her apart from her peers until she either takes care of it, meaning get rid of the baby. Some of them even, you know, have an abortion. And we'll close our eyes to that. That's okay. Or we'll sit her down until she gives birth. But unless that same church body is willing to actively discipline every known sinner from engaging in church activities, men and women alike, for a duration of 9 months, then it is nothing less than sheer religious hypocrisy to reserve this type of punishment only for unmarried pregnant women. If we're going to openly disgrace churchgoers who are living in known sin, then let's just do it for all. Now, I'm in no way in agreement with tolerating sin. I don't want to tolerate it in my own life, first and foremost, or in the lives of others claiming to be Christians. But I'm just saying, we need to keep it real. If we're going to start disciplining people, let's do it all across the line. What I'm referring to is the very biased standard of quote-unquote correction in the churches. It dishonors God and His righteous character because now we're being biased. We're saying we're going to punish some sin and we're not punishing other sins. And we are very much aware that there's a lot of sin going on in the house of God. So we're going to start punishing people. But let us punish ourselves. Let's start punishing the men. Start punishing the other women for all kinds of different sins. Not just for somebody who's pregnant. That baby is not a sin. The people living in sin are the sinners. And then Psalm 51 is an excellent psalm with regard to not only corporate church sin, but personal sin. Even in Psalm 51, it talks about the knowledge of God and his plans for us while we're still inside the womb. Take a look and read that psalm. I don't have the time to do it tonight. But we need to repent personally, and we need to repent corporately as a body, and ask God to forgive us for our carelessness and for shutting our eyes and making believe we didn't know something, you know, winking the eye and letting people go ahead and have abortions and not saying anything, and even have the nerve to tell them God understands. God understands that we go ahead and get rid of the problem. Let me tell you something. A baby is not a problem. Sin is a problem, not a baby. A baby is not a problem. Sin is the problem, always. We need to repent of the sin, not repent of having a baby. And we need to repent for our hard-heartedness. We need to pray. Really pray. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. But if my people call by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, then I will heal their land. We as a church must pray against the horrendous practicing and the practice of slaughtering precious life in the womb. And we have said nothing. Basically, especially the evangelical church, and Lord knows the evangelical church in New York, God forgive us, we've said little to nothing about it. Preach about all kinds of other stuff. Don't preach about killing babies in the womb as if God didn't care. Please. He does care. Pray that our church leadership would speak boldly against the legislated wickedness in our land, and they not be ashamed, but they be courageous. Pray for our government officials that they would vote to protect human life and not to destroy unborn babies. Come on. If we're going to destroy the most vulnerable among us, what does that say about us as a people, as a nation? My goodness. Pray for the pregnancy, the Christian pregnancy crisis homes, the pro-life ministries, that they be encouraged, that they be strengthened, that they would increase, that they would grow, that they would be respected, they would be supported, that we would do everything to allow them to thrive and be what God has raised them up to be. Pray and ask people in your church to help you to pray. There's so many things that we can do. If you are on Facebook, please ask to be a friend of mine, and then you can go on my Facebook. But I tell you what, better than that, go on Life Team New York, Life Team New York, and you'll be able to read more of what you can do as a response, a Christian response to this new Reproductive Health Act. You can also go on 40 Days for Life BX, which stands for the Bronx. 40 Days, 40, the number 4, then 0, then DAYSFORLIFE. 40 Days for Life BX stands for the Bronx. Go on that on your Facebook and like our page. Like our page on 40 Days for Life Bronx or Life Team New York. Life Team, LIFETEAMNY. Go on that Facebook page, and you're going to see my response on both of those pages, 40 Days for Life and Life Team NY. Go on those pages and read what you can do in response to this horrible, horrible, demonic, evil, wicked law. I mean, things are so crazy right now in our nation that after Cuomo passed his bill that he created with the help of his Democratic constituency, another Democrat in Virginia by the name of Tran, she put together a similar bill. so that babies in Virginia could be slaughtered even as they were being born. But I tell you what, thank God it was voted down, even if I think just by about one or two votes, which is too close for comfort. But this woman, and if you don't think what I'm saying is true, please Google it. This woman, the same day, not a different day, the same day that she was pushing a bill that would terminate human life in their mother's womb, the same day, up to the same day of their birth, the same woman, Tran, T-R-A-N, she was pushing for a bill to save caterpillars. Do you hear me? She wanted to save caterpillars, but she wanted to allow killing of human babies that are fully developed in their mother's womb and ready to be born. This is to tell you. I mean, I can't even make this kind of stuff up. This is so outrageous and outlandish. But this is the day that you and I are living in. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. It's found in Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering toward slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they've done? Okay, you and I, we've got to be a voice for the voiceless. And we have to allow our voices to be heard on their behalf. We can no longer be closed mouth, you know, with our mouths closed, wink our eyes, put our hands over our ears, and make believe that we don't know what is happening all around us. Innocent life and innocent blood being shed. And even with our tax dollars, it is time that the church arises. Is it time that we pray, number one, without works is dead. It's time that we pray and then we act. We need to rise up, church. We need to let our voices be heard in heaven and on the earth. We need to be salt and we need to be light. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, you let us be alive for such a time as this. Help us, O God, bond in a way that will be pleasing and will be exalting your high and holy name. Help us not to fear, but to stand strong in this dark hour and to be your light and to rescue those that are perishing, even inside their mother's wombs. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you until next time. God loves you the best. And Sister Pearl loves you too. Bye-bye.